I stared at him. "Why?" I asked. He looked surprised.
"The record, Jack! The record is there!"
"Then why not just play the coil?"
"Because it's not on the coil, like I've been saying."
"Oh."
"Electromagnetic scattering of some time caused it to bleed off."
"Holly, I still don't understand you,"
interrupted Lya thankfully.
"You say it's there, and then you say it's been, what, bled off? Bled off where?"
"Bled off into the pod itself, dear. It's on the inner surface of the pod shielding plate, but it's still intact. It's still there."
She frowned.
"Then how can you get it off?"
He smiled indulgently at our inability to keep up with his racing brain. I imagined he had had much practice in his short but brilliant life.
"But don't you see? That's what makes it such a fascinating problem. To draw it out of such an irregular surface while still maintaining its cohesive interval requires an ability to adjust to millions of split-second alterations of power level. We're talking about a tiny, tiny bit of charge here. And the smallest change in resistance factor, an imperfect alloy on the shield plates, a drop of paint, even the fact that the surface is curved can make a difference. You see, if you draw it too quickly, the chain breaks and the electrons lose their cohesion. If you draw it too slowly, then the field halts for the microsecond required for it to produce its own field, and bingo, it's gone."
"You mean you'd lose the record?" I prompted. "It would go blank?"
"Well, not blank. It would become a regularly interspersed pattern of dots and dashes, which, for our purposes, is the same thing."
"Just like that?"
asked Lya. He nodded.
"Just like that. Listen, I've seen 6 hours, that's 6 computer hours, mind you, turn static, coalesce, and pop across to a lab assistant's belt buckle. All before the computer, much less us, knew there was a problem. No matter how good your hardware, or how large your storage capacity, given current limits, there are still too many bits with too many problems to allow for."
"I don't get it," I said, and I didn't. "Then you're saying it can't be done?"
"No, no, 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 Jack. I'm saying no computer can do it."
"Then what can?"
asked Lya, sounding as confused as I was. Holly's face broke into a wide grin. His right index finger stabbed the air.
"The brain," he said triumphantly.
Lya looked at him. I looked at him. She and I looked at each other.
"That's absurd," she said at last. "No man can think as fast as your smallest relays. You told me that yourself."
"I said process,"
he replied with a tolerant but firm smile.
"Not think. Computers don't think. They simply sort."
"What's the difference?"
Lya wanted to know.
4 or 5 billion bits of data, for one thing."
"For the computer," I interjected.
"No, for the brain," he retorted. "We don't focus as well, true enough, and our data priority system is horridly uncontrolled. But whether you call it panicking or going blank or just stuttering, those are generally breakdowns in the delivery system, not the storage. The answer, and about 2 million others per second, is there."
"So the computers are more effective, Holly, which is the same thing?"
demanded Lya.
"Yes, yes, but it is we who do the programming for the effect we want. Computers are, in limited areas, much better devices, but we are vastly superior machines."